Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 323. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Just back from the Oceanside, California, Shakey's Pizza Parlor.
All right. Graham Thickens.
Oh, greetings from Silver Sands Road on beautiful Whitefish chain of lakes.
Nice. And Phil Wilson is, I don't know, he's somewhere. He's flitting about somewhere. I don't know if he's got a basketball game or he's, heading to Australia. I have no idea. Anyway, but he couldn't be on this week. But we're here, and we're going to have a great show.
You bet.
But I have to hear, Graham, before we start doing too much, about this post that you wrote on Minovate about the Sophia Fund. So it sounds they're kind of on a roll.
Yeah, women entrepreneurs are on a roll in Minnesota. Yeah, they, they announced a few months ago that they were raising this fund and they had closed on a portion of it. But they said at that time that they would continue to raise money and hope to raise as much as $5 million. Well, they were oversubscribed at $5.5 million and took on some other, limited partners and announced, that it was now closed and they're going to be making more investments in women-led or startups or companies that have women on as part of their management team and ownership. So, yeah, it's four experienced angel investors, or actually, no, five of them. Yeah, five. Yeah. What am I thinking? And I put up the post this week, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more announcements from them as they fund some more startups beyond Kitizen, which is the one we announced that they funded back in, April.
Right, right. Well, I suppose now that it's only women, we can't go and pitch them on Minovate ideas.
Well,
of course,
we could have Tim,
you could go and drag.
I don't think that counts, does it?
Probably
not. We could count the wives as owners.
Well, right. That's true.
Then we're golden, man.
Yeah. All right. Okay, you guys start, and I'll catch up with you later.
Oh man. I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, again, the summer doldrums don't exist anymore, right? Because this article that we saw about Amazon, now they've connected up with a partner here to do their grocery concept. Now, is this going to be delivery, Tim?
No, it's you order online or on your mobile phone, and you pick it up in what looks like a Sonic-style warehouse where they bring your stuff out. But my comment is, hasn't Buyerlease done this for years where you they bring it out to your car at the end?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so what's the big deal? Yeah, the story doesn't say where this location will be, does it? It just says it's an Excelsior-based developer. That's got the facility, 11,000 square foot facility or something.
Well, they have a few locations, one in Plymouth, one in St. Louis Park, and another one up in White Bear Lake. So
okay.
So it looks like, I wonder if this is going to be Amazon's strategy though, to partner with local groups like this.
You would think so, because the grocery business is pretty complicated and it has a strong local component. So even though they're going to have their distribution center here, it's completely different than running their dry goods business.
Yeah, yeah.
So partnerships would make a lot of sense. I'm sure there'd be a lot of companies that would want to participate in something like this.
Right. Well, a friend of ours runs Store to Door, the grocery delivery service for seniors. It's a nonprofit, and their partner is Cub Foods, and they have volunteers that take orders from seniors, and then they have volunteer shoppers who go shop, and then they have volunteer drivers who drive their trucks and deliver the groceries. And it's a really interesting and efficient operation. But as stuff like this becomes more ubiquitous, or as Uber, continues to accelerate, or if we end up with driverless cars, imagine all the services that will be available to everybody, including seniors. I mean, are we going to need these nonprofits?
Yep. Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Indeed.
Pretty interesting. But
so, Steve, you put this other link in from Amazon. I didn't get the local angle on it, though.
Well, I probably shouldn't have put it in Minnesota Stories.
Well, I got an angle on that because I've already talked to one e-commerce company locally that's seriously looking at doing it. I mean, you know, it doesn't cost them anything to try out this platform.
Well, let's first tell everybody what it is. So
Launchpad.
Launchpad. So Amazon has rolled this out, and it's really think of it as a product hunt kind of product or Shopify. It's a way to easily sell products online. And you know, I looked at this, and as soon as I saw it, I thought to myself, you know, I'm sure you guys remember the day when Amazon was the first one to provide affiliates. They had an affiliate program. So if you were running a blog, you could set up products and then display those on your blog. And then if someone purchased off your blog, you'd get a little commission.
And we got some huge checks, didn't we, Steve?
I remember I got a check. Yeah. I got a check once for $23, and I thought I died and went to heaven. I mean, I thought, oh my God, I can't believe it. This is just going to accelerate.
We were in like the first 1,800 that did that. I still have my T-shirt, but
I know. Well,
but this sounds like a much bigger deal. I mean, this has got, you know, Andreessen Horowitz and Y Combinator behind it. And, you know, they're encouraging their startups that sell physical goods to use this platform. It's just another way for startups to get their products out there, you know, beyond the, you know, the crowdfunding platforms. And I think it'll be a winner.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I say, a local e-commerce startup that I know, Boom Boom Prints, is looking at it. So maybe we'll have a chance to see what they experience with this platform.
Well, I think I'm going to start infomercials. Go to Guthrie Renker Corp and see if they can put together an infomercial, and we'll start pitching this as the next great opportunity for people. Yeah. No, I'm not doing that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
that would be seeing you on an infomercial. I don't know.
Well, hey, Tony Robbins, Steve Borsch. I mean, what's the difference?
That's right.
Oh my gosh!
Would you guys walk through Kohl's if I told you to do it?
No.
Would we what?
Walk through Kohl's. That's as big thing as you walk over the hot Kohl's. God. Tony Robbins.
I thought you meant walk through Kohl's department store.
No. Yeah, right. Yeah, I right. Do that.
Well, actually, it's funny because out in the Bay Area, Tony Robbins had one of his big deals, and something like 12 people were taken to the hospital with burns from walking through the hot coals.
Yeah.
So
that guy's a real piece of work, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of retail, Target's Alan Wiseman, the top digital technology leader, plans to exit the company.
Already gone. What's it been? It's already only been gone. A year and a half or so, hasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So what's the deal here?
Well, he never moved. So he came on as a contractor back 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
And then he's had the job as, you know, the full-time VP of their online stuff and mobile. Mm-hmm. For about a little over a year, it looks like. But if you look at his background on LinkedIn, and they have a link to his LinkedIn, he doesn't do anything for very long. You know, the longest he did anything was I think 3 or 4 years. So he's one of these guys that likes to start up things and do some interesting work, and then he moves on. So I don't think this indicates much, but since he's been there, they've done pretty well on mobile. And their online presence, I think, has improved, but I have to say that I ordered some stuff online just this week, and their website is not great.
Oh, really?
No, it doesn't work very well in Chrome, and it's not much better in Firefox. I switched over mid-order to try to do it, and it's still not great. And it was one of these things where I wanted to pick it up in the store, and half my order was picked up in the store, and then the other half got shipped. And
oh, well, that's not much praise for Target.com. Reminds me of what my high school football coach said about me. He's not big, but he is slow. He said that at the banquet. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, but my anyway, God. Oh
no,
my
God.
I do this thing at Best Buy all the time where I order stuff online when I see it on sale and I pick it up at the store, and it works great. So Best Buy has really nailed
They've
that.
Nailed it, yep. I've
and
done it,
Target
too.
Really hasn't figured it out yet fully, but it's, you know. So we'll keep an eye on this and see if they bring in more people and they continue the velocity of what they've been doing.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think Wiseman's going to do a startup would be my guess.
Yeah.
Really? Well, yeah, either that or he's got another project-oriented gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Well, and then fortunately, I went in the other day to use, I got a new debit card with a chip, and it's the first card that I've got with a chip.
Really?
Yeah. And I went in to use it and the magnetic stripes on the back, and you can see the chip, the back of the chip there. And so of course I put my card upside down because I thought, the reading part would be the same as where the mag stripe is. It turns out it's actually not. It's, you've got to put it in right side up where the numbers are, because that's how the chip is read. And there's no user interface stuff on the reader that really explains that or makes it obvious. Mm-hmm. And the woman said to me at the Target checkout, she said, you know what? Everybody gets that wrong and it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, we'll all be trained on how to do it. It'll take one or two times and you'll figure it out. But
you're not using the Apple Watch just to buy everything?
Not at Target. They don't
take
it.
You're still using, they don't? Oh, okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. Remember? They don't do it yet.
Yeah, that's right.
No, okay. But I started using my phone at all kinds of different places like Whole Foods and even my where I get my haircut, Flagship Salon in Eden Prairie. The guy that owns it has a computer science degree. So, of course, every time I'm in there, he and I are talking about tech and this and that, and he's put beacons in, and he's got all kinds of stuff. But he put in Apple Pay just because he thought it would be cool. And so I pay for my styling with my Apple Watch. Yeah, with Apple Pay. Works great. Yeah.
So anyway, Target is racing to meet the deadline of October to have these chip card readers in all their stores, right?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, they said that the reason why they didn't do it back before they had the big breach was they had experimented with it, but it slowed down the checkout line so much. They didn't like that. So I'm sure they're working on speeding up that process. But, you know, I've seen it at Walmart in action, and it doesn't seem to be slower. I don't know.
I didn't think it was slower. I mean, other than, you know, I'm fumbling around because it was the first time that I'd ever used the card that way. But the thing that I like about it, though, too, is that I don't have to put in a PIN number. So that was one of the disturbing things with the Target breach, is that not only did they get the card, but there was a good chance they got the PIN. And so, you know, obviously I immediately destroyed the card, you know, called and destroyed the card and then created a new PIN. And well, I did.
Right.
Both my wife and I, we got new cards almost immediately.
He tweeted to Steve Gibson. Hey,
I did.
Get rid of your Target card, man.
I did. No, I did not.
Always on the watch.
Leave me alone.
Always on the lookout. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the watch, though, I thought this was awesome that Best Buy is going to carry the watch.
Yeah. Remember how we said Tim Cook says it's going to be a big holiday season? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Only 300 stores, was that it? Or only 100 expanding to 300 or something like that?
Yes, before the holiday season.
Yeah. But still, it'll have an impact.
That'll still help them, you know, sell a lot at the holiday. Cause I would imagine it would be a gift item. It's a little expensive, but you know, people bought iPods back in the day for their families, you know, exactly. And they were just as expensive. So.
Sure.
Well, I had an interesting experience yesterday. So I went to Wells Fargo, had a business deposit and some other things to do. And the young man says to me, "Hey, how do you like your Apple Watch?" And he holds up his. And so we stood and talked for about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes because there are people in line. But it turns out
who were seething at you.
They were, I'm sure they were like, shut up there. Get up, get the hell out of here.
Burning holes in the back of your head with their eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And, but here's what he said. He goes, "Yeah, you know," he says, "I'm doing this healthcare startup on the side with a couple of other guys." And I said, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah, it's everything we're doing was with the watch." And so I didn't have a card or anything. I couldn't leave with him. So I told him to go to Minovate and use the contact form. So we'll see if he does that.
Interesting.
So he can find out what he's doing. But I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, but I've had that happen in the drive-up window. You know, the teller sees the watch. "Oh, is that an Apple Watch?"
Oh, really?
You get the craziest stuff.
So here's one of the things that I will really like having this at Best Buy. I've noticed that there's a lot of accessory manufacturers of charging blocks and watch bands and things of that nature that have already started discounting them because I'm sure they're not moving it like they want them to. And, so it'd be nice to be able to go there and see all the different products, especially bands.
Yeah, because they might have more than the Apple Store does, or they'd have different.
Oh, they would for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly have cheaper ones too.
Yeah. Yep. Well, my daughter just bought three watch bands, and she got some kind of a deal. I'm not sure where. I don't think it was Groupon, but she's like in all, you know, 19 different deal sites. But she bought a 3-pack of watch bands. And she goes, "Dad, I mean, it takes me literally 6 seconds to change the band." And so she'll flip a different band on when she puts on different clothes. Of course, do that all the time too, you know, especially with shoes. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I have like, you know,
to match your Speedo. Yeah.
Your watch band has to match your belt, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So you got the white belt on, you got the blue belt on, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. You know how it is. Well,
just
we just
straw hat.
My favorite thing is having one of my sister-in-laws come in the house the other day, and she says to my wife, "Why do you guys have so many pair of shoes sitting in the laundry room?" And Michelle says, "Just walk down the stairs and look at what Elizabeth has down there." And I swear to God, she's got like, it looks like Imelda Marcos. She's got like 40 pair of shoes. It's like, how many shoes do you need, for God's sakes?
Now she's got to match them with her bands, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, right.
There you go.
Yep.
Styling, man.
So this 365 thing looks crazy.
Yeah, so what is 360 Fly?
It's a 360-degree camera that Best Buy has the exclusive on.
Interesting.
It's a $400 camera, but it takes a 360-degree view. So it's developed by some guys that came out of Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, they've raised a lot of money, and apparently they got enough attention that Best Buy decided to let them in, and that's a good idea to get an exclusive, you know, for them to offer an exclusive on something like this. It'll draw some attention.
Well, so let me ask you this. I know I've seen it before, the 360-degree tours that Google does.
Do you
guys know, either one of you, if you can create your own and then upload them?
I don't think so. I think they have to use the special Google thing because it's more than just the 360 view. It's also cataloging metadata and all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
So it's a closed box or black box kind of thing right now. And they also take all sorts of internal GPS readings and whatnot. So I don't think you can like buy this camera and do the same kind of thing, but maybe in the future you can. I had never heard of this before, and it's just interesting to see that something comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden it's at Best Buy.
Right.
To be sold in 900 locations throughout the country.
Hmm.
But
another holiday gift idea for you there.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering though, if the are there any services that you can actually view these? And if you do a 360, I mean, are there any virtual service, you know, like web apps that you can upload?
Yeah, how can you share it? Yeah. Right. That's going to be critical.
I haven't really looked into it, but I'll drop their website into the show notes here.
Yeah. I was going to say launching a new camera like this, you know, can be difficult. I mean, what about that one that got so much play that, you know, where you change the focal or point or what, you know, that Lytro Lumio. Or whatever.
Or yeah, Lytro. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that got a lot of attention, raised a lot of money, and oh, this is going to be the new thing in cameras. But, I mean, how much traction is it really getting, you know, sales-wise?
Not much.
You know, they're pricey, and, you know, and they're somewhat gimmicky, some people might think. And, I mean, if you aren't a smartphone company or GoPro, you know, can you really make a big dent in the consumer market with a new camera these days? You know, this is a specialty sort of an item, but it sounds cool.
If you go into their website, they have some videos and they're all like GoPro style things, but the player, which seems like a regular flash player, allows you to pan around. So I'm looking at one where this guy scuba diving in a kelp bed, and you could just like spin the whole thing around. Okay. It's really actually kind of cool.
So is there a waterproof housing? Is that what you're saying?
I guess so, because all of these videos that they have on their website are like GoPro style. They're doing some sort of sporting activity, whether it's mountain biking or scuba diving or riding a jet ski or something like that, or flying.
How about surfing, man?
No surfers. So there's your opportunity, Graham. Get one of these things.
We gotta
get up on the North Shore. Come on.
You could dominate the category. Labor. Yeah.
And people would say, old men can surf in Lake Superior? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, really. young men can. Young, very fit, brave souls can do that, man.
You still have to wear a wetsuit this time of year up there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
All year,
It's a rare day when they'll unzip their top and let it kind of flap down so they're kind of what we call bareback. I've seen it happen, but it's rare. It's when the water temps get up into maybe the low 60s or upper 50s if you're lucky, you know.
Which is extremely rare. I used to scuba dive up there all the time, you know. Many, many, many summers, and the water temperature, you know, the thermocline, the place that, you know, the water's warm on the top, only really happens in certain areas, like in Bayfield in the Bay.
Or the South Shore.
Then it can get up into the 40s, upper 40s, sometimes low 50s.
But, in the summer, on the South Shore, I think it gets up into the even upper 60s, you know.
Yeah, if you're long.
But that's shallow water.
Very shallow.
Sand bottom, and
Yep, but boy, is it cold. Oh, man. It is so cold up there. But anyway, so.
We'll see some 360 surfing videos, I'll bet, pretty soon.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
So this last Minnesota story on Gov Delivery. I don't really know Gov Delivery very well.
I've never heard of them either.
Oh, they're very successful. St. Paul based.
Yeah. But they bought a company called Textison.
That's hard to say.
Yeah.
Textison.
I just took a look at this, but they can use it to send texts containing surveys, event reminders, project updates, and other notifications. And I think that's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, email only goes so far, so this is another angle to allow people to communicate with their local government folks. I don't know about you, but I'm always wanting to text with my local councilman or whatever.
Well,
I'm kidding.
I know you are, but you know there's a service called C-Click Fix. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
It is a service where you can use the mobile app, and if your city supports it, like Minneapolis does, for example, Eden Prairie does, Richfield does. You can take a picture of something and then say what it is, and it does an automatic GPS locator, and you can submit something. And so my wife and I go for an hour walk every morning, and I often see things, you know, like trees down or graffiti, or, you know, there's a somebody, some kids ripped off the front of a telephone box, you know, so all the wires were exposed and the front of it was gone. I don't know if they use it for a sled or what, but they ripped it off. So I took a photo of that and submitted it, and they tell you who it was assigned to, and then they give you a report when it's done. You know, this was fixed on blah, blah, blah by,
wow,
you know, Joe Schmedlap and et cetera. And it's a great way.
Cool.
It's like crowdsourcing the city.
Yeah. Local issues. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Problems.
So
yeah. I wonder if Bloomington uses it. That sounds like a really useful app.
You should take a look.
For potholes and stuff like that, you know, instead of having to go look up the number and call them, you know, you just do it on the app.
Right.
What's it called again?
See, click, fix. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And so you can go take a look at that. But anyway, the point is that I think this is a bright thing for Gov Delivery to do, because, you know, everybody's walking around with these connected devices. And, you know, if you see something or something happens and you can send a text in, or if you're watching some local news story and you can send a text in, you know, they can have people that can then deal with them, because there's apparently some kind of analytics and dashboarding that goes on, and the city can have somebody watching that. So seems like a pretty bright play.
Yes, it does.
So.
So what else is happening out there in the larger world of tech?
Well, I see this as story number one. Tim, I don't know if you put this in here or not, because of your love and appreciation and sometimes hugging of your Android devices.
I put the stage fright, what you need to know story, which is from Android Central, and kind of a good backgrounder on what it is and what you can do about it. So yeah. I had heard about this earlier in the week, and I did go into Hangouts, which I use for SMS.
And can you tell us what Stage Fright is first?
So it's an exploit that is going to be announced next week at, DEF CON?
DEF CON out in Las Vegas.
And some company did a press release about it this week. It has not been exploited in the wild yet. But it does sound pretty bad, where it's an exploit that allows an attacker to basically send you an MMS, a video file, and the default behavior in most of the Android messaging apps, either the built-in messaging, Android messaging app, or Hangouts, which Google has kind of pushed at you to use as your messaging app, is to download the attachment. And of course, that's a convenient thing if someone's sending you a picture or whatever.
Yeah.
It just shows up, and you don't have to click a button to say download it. So that sounds like a pretty bad exploit, and so the workaround at this point, before Google patches it, which they're in the process of doing, is just to turn off the behavior of downloading a text. So now I'll get a text, you know, might be a photo, might be a video, and I'll have to see who it came from, and then, you know, download it if I choose to. So to me, I don't think this is as big a deal as the guy in Business Insider or others have said. Oh, geez, you really should go to iOS because Android is so unsafe, and it's a bad deal. But at the same time, I wouldn't, you know, just throw out Android because of it.
No, well, it's like anything else. It's if you're not paying attention to this stuff. That's a problem. You know, the biggest issue that people are bringing to the fore right now about stage fright and about this specific event that's happening at DEF CON is that the mobile carriers are absent. You know, that they're not driving updates to some of these older devices. And that they've got to get in the game. They've got to, you know, if you go buy a computer from one of these guys, which is what a smartphone is, you know, I mean, you can't just leave it up to people to patch it because they're not going to do it. I mean, just right. about everybody is going with, I mean, even, you know, you look at WordPress, for example, is doing automatic updates now, security updates. Mm-hmm. You can elect to have automatic security updates done. And, you know, more and more of us need to have that done because people are not proactive. You know, I'm hammering on my own family, for God's sakes, to run updates.
Yeah. Yeah. So 950 million Android users are not going to do this, you know.
Well, one of the things that Google has done, because fragmentation of the code base has been a problem for years with Android, where unless you buy a Nexus product, you don't get automatic updates to the latest version. I'm still running KitKat because the phone I have, that's what is out there for it. And so what Google has done is they've come up with what they call Play Services, which is an app which kind of runs in the background, and they're able to patch that all the time. So as long as you're running a reasonably late version of the operating system, I would say from Jelly Bean onward, you have Google Play Services, and that keeps getting updated, and that's where they make the fixes to the things like this.
That's good. That's very good.
Yep.
All right.
Word to the Android wise.
Yep. Stay up. Make sure that you keep Google Play Services up to date. So.
Yep. Say, there you go. Are either of you guys running Windows?
I am, and I think Windows 10 is a really great upgrade.
I am. I've been running the preview, the Windows 10 preview now for maybe 3 months, between 3 and 4 months. And I am stunned by that, but also I'm stunned by, as I had mentioned before, Office for the Mac, even though yesterday was nearly 3 gigs of updates that was necessary to run. It's like, I mean, seriously, every single time I launch Office Mac, it seems there's a big update. But I'm blown away by how great the products are.
Well, the one thing I had reserved it because my daughter has a fairly old Windows laptop. We got it for her in college, so it's probably 3 or 4 years old. It was running Windows 7, and it was time to kind of do a reinstall. And so I just waited for it, and I just did a download in place. I haven't done the full virgin install yet.
Yeah.
But it runs very fast, a lot faster than Windows 7 on the same hardware. And this Microsoft Edge browser is really good.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I haven't used Edge yet because I have to install it in my Windows 7 instance that I'm running virtually. But the only kicker was I read a couple of articles, one of which was, Windows 10 uses your bandwidth to distribute updates, so it's acting like BitTorrent.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, it does kind of make sense, but people are saying, "Hey, wait, whoa, wait a minute, time out. I don't want my bandwidth to be used. Especially if you're on a mobile device. Of course, who's going to do an operating system update over LTE or something? I mean, probably not. But
you don't want to do this one because it's over 3 gigs.
Right.
Over Wi-Fi, it took a long time.
Right. But then there's a young guy, Jonathan Porta, who's a developer, and he did a post called, "I Noticed Some Disturbing Privacy Defaults in Windows 10. And the defaults are stuff like, you know, personalize your speech, typing, blah, 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 by sending contacts and calendar details along with other associated input data to Microsoft. And he was like, what? You know, and then another one, let Windows and apps request your location, including location history, and send Microsoft and trusted partners some location data to improve location services. He's like, what? It's enabled by default? And then send typing and inking data to Microsoft to improve the recognition and suggestion platform. It's like, no. I'm not going to send what I type to Microsoft. And so now there's a Reddit thread that tells you how to turn Reddit. All this stuff off. And just about everybody that is writing Windows articles about the install process have said, and oh, by the way, make sure you turn all this stuff off.
And I like how the second one, after installation, head to settings, privacy, and disable everything.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, you know, in a lot of ways, because everybody wants to have these ubiquitous services that they're offering. In some ways, it's like Comcast setting up every single wireless router that they do with a free Xfinity Wi-Fi that's just open. That you have to log into with your Comcast credentials, of course. But anybody can get on your router and use your bandwidth as long as they log in. And that's just the default. And so all this stuff with Microsoft is set up as a default. And man, I'd turn it all off. So.
Yep, I just did.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
before we leave this topic, I've got to say my favorite quote on Windows 10 is what Jimmy Fallon said, I think it's just last night. Huh. Why does Windows 7, why do you have to upgrade to from Windows 7 to Windows 10? Because Windows 7, 8, 9.
Right, because they had Windows 95 and 98.
Oh, there's the reason.
So, yeah, so that they already used up the 9s way back in the 90s.
So and, Windows 7, 8, 9. There you go.
And what's interesting is that Windows 10 appears to be the last Windows. So they're going to do like what Mac has done with OS 10 and just iterate. So there'll be a, you know, this is 10.0, and then there'll be a 10.1.2 and so forth throughout the years.
Okay, I predict what the next one is going to be. Doors.
Doors?
We're going from Windows to doors.
There you go.
No, I mean,
that's
well,
gotta be it.
So Apple used animals, and now they're using, you know, wonderful scenic locations. And so what will Microsoft use as their naming convention?
Doors is the natural. You know how many kinds of doors there are?
I don't know. Well, I was blown away by this next article, and it was about IBM. Now we know everybody probably knows about the partnership that they've forged, Apple and IBM, and Tim Cook was walking with is it Virginia, the IBM
CEO? Romney, the CEO of IBM,
or Ginny, they call it.
Ginny.
She and Tim Cook are walking at some office building, talking about this partnership, and it's specifically about devices, so it's really mobile device centric. But this article was IBM to purchase up to 200,000 Macs annually, with 50-75% of employees ultimately switching from Lenovo.
Yeah.
This just absolutely blew me away. Now I will tell you that when they were making the ThinkPad, I was issued a nice thin one when I was at Lawson. And this is, you know, God, this is
10 years ago.
No, it's more than that. In fact, it is 10 years. It's 10 years this December that I've been gone, been on my own. And the ThinkPad is and now Lenovo, of course, makes it, best laptop I ever had in my life. I loved that product. And all I could think about is sitting on my desk was my own my own MacBook Pro. I had a 15-inch MacBook Pro and this ThinkPad. And so I used the ThinkPad for work and the Mac for personal stuff, or if I had to create reports, I could actually do it in InDesign on my laptop. But it's going to be real interesting to see what happens with all these devices. You know, are people going to just use Boot Camp and load Windows and just use them as a Windows laptop? Or are they going to learn the, you know, OS 10 and then run Windows and Linux virtually?
I would think that IBM would have a lot of legacy internal apps that would only on Windows. So maybe they're going to run Parallels or something for those legacy apps maybe, or indeed run Windows on it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the MacBooks are great for running Windows with Boot Camp.
Oh, they're in many ways, they're faster than other ones.
The native machine, yeah.
Well,
and of course, IBM hasn't has sold the business to Lenovo a long time ago.
Right.
So that's been several years now.
Yep.
So they like their partner Apple, apparently. They had previously said they'd buy, you know, 25 or 50,000, but when they started talking about up to 200,000, that definitely got Apple's attention.
No kidding.
More so, yeah.
No kidding. Well, and we had talked earlier about the Apple Watch. There's no discussion about them buying a whole bunch of Apple Watches. In fact, there's a lot of question marks about the numbers. And, you know, is the Apple Watch really worth your time on this one review on Medium? It's kind of a long one.
It's a good one, though.
It's a meta review, though. That's interesting idea where they take all sorts of reviews that are posted on Medium and then this extract them out and kind of curate them down. And so you really get a good idea of what the watch is from real users, what the watch looks like and acts like. I found it very helpful.
The most interesting one to me, not being a urban dweller, was the first one about how it really changed the guy's life in New York City with walking directions.
Yeah,
I thought that was absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely. Well, the more you use it and the more you fool with it, the more useful it becomes, because you just sort of have this discovery. It's like, oh yeah, wow. You know, I mean, it's constant. And I loved Julio's article. I've tried the Apple Watch, my take, and of course, he has a picture of Dick Tracy.
which somebody drew for him. Yeah, that's a great review too.
Yeah. I mean, he likes it, but he's on the fence. And I think
it's a budget thing, you know.
Well, it's a nice to have. It's not a must have.
Correct.
He's had a loaner now for a couple of months, and is he going to go out and buy one? Well, no, it's not really in the budget, you know. But he still likes it in many ways, and waiting to see all the cool stuff coming. And he puts a good rundown in there, which I had not seen before, of all the things that are supposedly going to be coming here as of September or so.
Well, that's actually was one of the things I was just going to mention was, you know, the Wells Fargo conversation I had with that kid. Mm-hmm. He touched on some of this stuff that was brought up at the Worldwide Developers Conference, because he and another guy were out there. And I really like this from Julio's standpoint, but it's significantly deeper than that. And this could actually, we could probably do a separate show just on the Apple Watch. I mean, there's so much that's under development right now. And I think it's going to take, you know, at least another few months before we start to see a lot of really great native apps coming out. But I think we're all going to be surprised a year from now.
Oh yeah. I agree. Right now it's just an extension of the iPhone now, which Julio makes very clear in his review. Very, very worth reading, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think that their secret weapon will be what they do with all the health stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to really make it a make or break the product as a mainstream kind of gadget.
Yeah.
Yep, and it'll take time, but there's a lot of people working on stuff. I mean, it's going to be huge when this stuff starts coming out.
Well, so Tim Bajarian, you know, he's the longtime PC writer, and he's done. I mean, he was kind of the go-to guy for many, many years on Microsoft and the PC business and so on. Wasn't he an analyst for a while?
Yeah, he runs a firm called Creative Strategies, still does.
Yeah.
Isn't it a father-son deal? I think it is.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, and I think I want to pronounce it Bajarian, but I'm not really sure how you say his last name.
That's probably more likely.
Yeah.
But the fellow that wrote this this article, Apple's Secret Android Plan for Apple Watch, he talked about how Tim Bajarian, that makes more sense, has an interesting theory concerning Apple's future plan to boost the Apple Watch, making it available as a device for Android users. Well, you know, people are, I've talked to a couple of people about this who have said, whoa, wait a minute. Seriously? No, they wouldn't do that. And I said, hey, I will tell you that it wasn't really until they had iTunes for Windows that the thing exploded and everybody had it.
Yep. Right. And Steve Jobs had to really be talked into that, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Dragged, kicking and screaming.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing is Beats Music is already available for Android. It was going to be.
It will be.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it has been. But yeah, Apple Music will be available for Android later in the year.
Yeah. 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 So it's not so far-fetched.
No, not at all.
So we may that could blow it wide open, too, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for putting in this article. I'm sure you did it, Tim, or maybe not.
I did.
Get ready for a new Apple TV in September. It's a BuzzFeed article by John Paskowski, who used to be with Recode. And, you know,
great writer. I love that guy.
And it says managing editor, BuzzFeed San Francisco. I had no idea he'd gone there.
Oh, he jumped. Yeah, he jumped a few months ago. Oh, I mentioned God. That to Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, I just totally, for some reason, I just blew out of my head, but. But the whole discussion is about what Apple's doing with a potential new Apple TV, and the platform looks like it's going to be here with some services, not everything, right from the get-go.
This is exactly what my prediction was, though.
I know.
Upgraded internals, the App Store, all that stuff. So.
Yep.
This guy gets in on a lot of scoops. I mean, he's.
He's very reliable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. Yep.
And it's got Siri too. I think this is going to make it a much more interesting platform.
I'll tell you, voice search on the latest Roku is fantastic. I love that. So if they have Siri on Apple TV, that it's going to be great.
Well, especially with the watch.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing worse than typing in your email address and password with your remote.
No, God, isn't that torture?
Yeah, like, now granted, you know, the Apple TV has an app and you can connect it up to your Apple TV. And so you got a little touchpad there so you can use the touchpad, but also you can type stuff in so that works. Roku has the same thing now with their Roku app and it works beautifully. But how great will it be to just lift up your watch and say, hey, Siri, and, you know, change the channel to CBS. You know, you might not even know the number. Boom, there it is.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to be really fascinating to me, and maybe to everyone, hopefully, is, you know, we've seen a lot of things with Comcast and what they're doing to make more of their programming available streaming and even live television. And it's going to be real interesting to see how all this stuff comes together. If this new Apple TV box will be, you know, the be all end all device that will do even more than we think it will. Maybe it'll be a TiVo killer. Maybe it'll be a, you know,
will it be a Roku killer is my big question.
Well, I don't know. I still probably not.
I doubt it because Roku is so well established.
Well, they're going to always be, you know, have more choices. Roku will be cheaper and have more choices and have a lot more channels too.
Hmm. Well, I think there will be
they've carved out their own niche, and I don't think Apple is going to really chip away at that. They may kill TiVo though. That may be the case, but I don't see that. That's only if the DVR goes into the cloud. If the DVR stays in the home, the TiVo is the way to go.
Well, and I'm really impressed with Plex on Roku. And also, you know, we get Acorn TV. We have a subscription to that, so we can get all this British TV. You know, there's some really great stuff that I'm convinced will not be available on the Apple TV in any incarnation.
Yeah, so it's content. Plex, yeah.
Plex probably will never be.
No.
But anyway. Yeah. But before we get to the tip of the week, I think we just need to touch on this BuzzFeed article.
The one since, about BuzzFeed and Vox.
Since Phil isn't here to defend himself.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't have any comment anyway.
No. There's no company comment from him. Yeah. We tried to get it out of him.
We tried to, but of course he doesn't know anything. just like all the Apple employees would always say in the stores.
How does that change BuzzFeed if NBC Universal infuses a lot of money into them? I mean, doesn't that just accelerate their business plan? It doesn't really change them?
Well,
Don't know. I really don't know.
Hmm.
So let's tell everybody what it is. So what it is that there was an article in Recode that talked about NBC Universal being poised to make big investments in both BuzzFeed and Vox Media. And both of them are just on a tear. I mean, I consistently have people send me stuff that, you know, is from Vox specifically, but they're just going crazy. And so it's really interesting, though, is it their ability to be sort of super curators, because they find content everywhere and then write an article or a post about it or throw up a video or whatever. Is it a way to ensure that NBC Universal takes the cutting edge, the leading edge in
tapping into millennial audiences, well, as Kara Swisher says?
Yeah, that or even you know, being the masters of viral video.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I've been really impressed by what they've been doing with Jimmy Fallon, for example. Literally every single show, the best parts of the show are clips that are available the next day.
And yeah, I think that's why they picked Jimmy Fallon, is just for that angle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's funny, but he's really good at doing these very short viral videos. Right. And that's the way that they're marketing The Tonight Show, which is smart for the younger audience.
Right, exactly.
So a $250 million investment into BuzzFeed, wow, with an $850 million valuation. I see Private Island coming here. Phil.
Yeah. It'll be inside of a hollowed out volcano, though.
So. Right, right, right.
All right, Steve.
Oh,
unleash the hound.
Steve's security tip of the week.
All right. Well, okay, so here's my security tip of the week. If you've heard about Tor, the anonymous browser that you can use, it's the onion router is what it means. And it means that your requests hop through a whole bunch of different nodes to get to your end connection. And supposedly you're anonymous. Well, unfortunately, there's been several attacks recently, but there's a brand new one on Tor that can de-anonymize hidden services with surprising accuracy. So, for example, if you have Gmail open in a browser, or you're running some other connected service, you know, you got Facebook running and maybe some services running in the background, even if you're using the Tor browser and you're popping through all these other nodes to get to some other site, you can still be tracked, and it's up to an 88% accuracy because these other services are running in the background, and you can be identified through those services. So that's bad news number one. And the one thing you might want to consider is either not using Tor anymore and just, you know, giving up on being anonymous, or you could even use Tails, which is the Amnesiac Incognito Live system. You can throw it on a thumb drive. You can even buy it on a thumb drive through Amazon. But Tails is basically you boot your computer from this thumb drive, and it's a live CD or USB distribution of Linux. And it's just, it's all Tor, and it's got no hidden services running or whatever. And you can use that. And then once you're done, you just restart and go back into your regular operating system, and you've left no trace. Then I read an article this week that you may have to also change the way that you type. And so
what?
Yeah, there's a way to track how you put in your passwords, because everyone's key presses on their keyboards are biometrically analyzed. And so how you type, you know, how hard you press and the pauses that you make between keys and all of that are all able to be tracked, and can the pinpoint accuracy is incredible. In fact, fun facts to know and tell, and this goes way back to Pay by Touch that did this. They had tests going in Target where you would pay with your thumbprint. Did you know that when you sign on a terminal or whatever, that nobody really cares whether or not it even looks like your signature, because the way that we move as we sign our name is biometrically analyzed, and we all write the strokes differently. And so there's ways to change the way you type so that you can't be tracked. And there's also a little Chrome extension called Keyboard Privacy that'll make your typing look like it's being made by somebody totally different. So it's
gosh.
Yeah. I swear to God that we should just unplug if there's any concern. Anyway, so that's my tip.
Good one.
All right.
All right.
Talk about too much data out there. Biometric keyboard. Biometrics. Oh my gosh. I'm blown away.
But you know, I mean, it's the old thing where, you know, you could sit outside an office building and shine a laser at a window and pick up the vibration of somebody's voice, and you can listen in, and you can pick up the electromagnetic radiation off a computer display and actually see this screen. I mean, there's all kinds of technologies out there, and it's like, oh my God. So I'm going to shield my entire office with lead and, I'm going to be like that Mel Gibson movie Conspiracy. Remember he had tin foil through his entire apartment was tin foil. That was great. All right. So let's talk about the cool thing of the week. So Phil's off. We don't care about him anymore. So Tim, what's your cool thing, buddy?
Well, we already talked about it, so I won't spend a lot of time here, but Windows 10. So I think it is a real step forward. I think what Microsoft's doing is very interesting with this Windows everywhere across all devices. And time will tell if it's successful. But if you have a Windows 7 or Windows 8 computer, especially if you have a Windows 8 computer, I would definitely upgrade now. If you have Windows 7, you can hang out a little bit, let the thing mature for a few months before you jump in. But I think it's a worthy upgrade. It's faster than anything else I've seen on older equipment, and I really like the Edge browser a lot.
Great. Good. How about you, Graham? What's your cool thing, buddy?
I got something totally different. Okay, now I tend to do these on my cool thing of the week, but you've all heard of stand-up paddleboarding.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for years, and you know, it started in the surfing world, and now it's like everywhere. You cannot go anywhere without seeing stand-up paddleboarders. I mean, I'm talking the lakes, the rivers, everything. Okay, the latest thing is the Supsquatch, which is like a huge 16 feet long kind of a board for multiple riders.
Oh.
And
it's inflatable?
Yeah, it's inflatable. Yeah, there are inflatable SUP boards that have been around for a while. You'd never know they were inflatable. I mean, they're kind of hard, you know. But this is a gigantic one that is pretty crazy, especially when they start riding big waves with multiple people. There's a video at Makaha on Oahu, one of the big wave surfing spots. And it's up for the ride of the year. So it's worth looking at on YouTube. So that's my fun, cool thing of the week.
That's
a little
great.
Spendy at $4,000.
$4,000,
yeah. It's probably not going to be on the Christmas list, but.
Yeah, probably not.
But we'll probably be seeing them on Lake Superior and the Twin Cities lakes, even just for people screwing around, you know, people with too much money.
Right,
it's for the surfer who has everything, is basically how I would describe this thing.
Well, My cool thing is substantially less expensive. You can probably get into it for $150, but they're all gone. Actually, all the backers. It's a Kickstarter project, and it's called the Luminati CS1, the world's first cinematic smart case. And I'll put a link in the show notes, because what you do is you literally slide your iPhone in the side of the device, and it looks like a retro camcorder, actually an 8mm film camera, really. Doesn't it look like an old Kodak camera, the 8mm camera? Yep. And I would just encourage you just to watch the opening video at the top, because it will do the whole run through, and it's pretty cool. And they've oversubscribed now, so they tried to raise $75,000. They're at $176,000, and it looks really awesome. Of course, you know, as I looked at this, I thought, you know, there've been many times where I'd love to go in and get a camcorder. A nice 4K HD camcorder, and then, you know, be able to upload the video somehow, but you can't. So this way you could actually use your phone, your iPhone, and be able to upload it as soon as the video is done. You could even do editing in there. They've got an app that goes with it as well. Anyway, so that's my cool thing.
Hey, you can buy 20 of them for only $3,200.
Oh yeah. I don't need that many, so.
Hey, that's less than a sup squatch, man.
That's right.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Talk about a mix of weird, cool things of the week.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God.
No kidding.
We do it all here at Minovate.
Well, about the only new upcoming event that we have.
Social Media Breakfast.
Social Media Breakfast, Brewing Up Buzz for Beer on August 14th.
Is that going to be like beer at 8 a.m. in the morning, like we did that one time over at the Summit Brewery?
I don't think so.
Literally, we're drinking beer at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
I'd be surprised if they don't break some out.
Probably around 10, though.
There you go. Yeah. Closer to noon. It's noon somewhere.
Well, I see that the moderator for this event is Jen Jamar, who's Michael Roventine's significant other.
Oh yeah.
And where's Michael?
Oh, he's hanging there, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's probably running the board.
He runs the deal.
Yeah. Oh, and he does an awesome job. Yeah. They're great events. They're really a lot of fun and very educational.
They are. They're great events.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep.
Well, good. I think that's it, guys. We've pretty much covered everything, and thanks everyone for listening.
And we'll see you next week
on the Minovate Gang podcast.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Yep. Have a good week.